were very blessed as well, and I had a very good time. In case you're wondering, my deep-fried turkey was phenomenal. It was great. But I also smoked a turkey, too. And I have to admit, I think I like the smoked turkey a little bit better. But they were both great. All in all, I did one whole turkey and five turkey breasts. It was busy, but it was fun. I enjoyed it. And like the lady, she walked into Kroger's the other day, and she had a big family coming in, and she was looking at all the turkeys in the meat department there, and she stopped one of the clerks and said, "Young man, do these turkeys get any bigger? I got a big family." The guy said, "No, ma'am, they're dead." All right. You appreciate it, right, Brother Wilson? How's it going, all right? Amen. How's it going, all right? All right. Well, anyways, 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. I hope everybody took an opportunity, had a good time of testimonies on Tuesday night. Always appreciate that special service that we have. Hope that you took the time to thank the Lord for his many blessings, because truly God's been good to every one of us. Thank the Lord for our church. Thank the Lord for our children. Thank the Lord for the Word of God. Thank the Lord for good music. Thank the Lord for so many things. The greatest thing that we can be thankful for, as has been sung today in our service, is the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. In verse number 18, if you're able to, can we stand as we read? If you cannot, the Lord understands that. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 18, says this, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. But the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men." Skip down to verse number 31, the last verse of the chapter. "That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. I thank you, God, for your goodness to us today. God, we have so much to be thankful for. Father, I pray for these next few minutes here in this auditorium that, Lord, you'd put a hedge about us. God, I do ask you, Lord, just to put a stillness on this place, and may all of our hearts be drawn and taught by the Holy Spirit. I pray, God, that, Lord, you just do a mighty work this morning. Lord, anyone here today that's saved, that we would be encouraged in our faith, encouraged and thankful for what you've done for us. Lord, anyone here this morning that's lost, I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. Open their hearts, Lord, teach them, make them wise unto salvation. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Thank you, and be seated. Again, we are thankful above all things for the Lord Jesus Christ. When I stop and think about all the reasons why we can and should be thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ, I think of number one, the fact that he created everything. Our God is the creator. We did not evolve from some, you know, lower life form. We were created in the image of God. God created man out of the dust of the ground. He breathed into man life, and man became a living soul. Everything that we have around us. This morning when I walked outside, yesterday was kind of dreary and wet and cool. But boy, I walked out, I was surprised. I didn't check any weather. I was expecting it to be cold. I heard it's supposed to get cold today, later, right? But I walked out this morning, and it was nice. The sun was shining. It felt kind of warm. I thought, this is awesome, right? Just take a moment to look around, and boy, you think this. God is good. God created it all. Everything that we have is from God, and you and I should be a very thankful people to the Lord Jesus Christ. He created it all. I'm also thankful that He came. He left heaven, was made in the likeness of men. He humbled Himself. He humbled Himself and came to this world for this one purpose, you and I, and our salvation. I'm thankful for creation. I'm thankful that He came. And when He came, He lived a holy life, a perfect life. He lived a life beyond reproach. He taught us. He gave us an example by His life. But we know the reason He came is that we're thankful for the cross. He came for this purpose, to die upon the cross of Calvary to pay for our sins. We understand this morning, that the Bible says the wages of sin is death. The gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Every one of us this morning were sinners. And if it weren't for the Lord Jesus Christ dying upon the cross of Calvary, we would have no hope. Jesus Christ is the only one who could die for us, because you and I, you understand, and we say this all the time, but it's the gospel message. We are sinners, and we can't die for each other's sin because we all have the same problem. But Jesus was able to die for our sins because He is holy, He is righteous, He is perfect. And when He died upon the cross, He did not just die as a man, He died as God. He was buried, but to show that He is God. Death could not hold Him. The grave could not keep Him. And after 3 days, Jesus Christ arose from the grave. What that did was it proved that yes, the wages of sin is death, but death no longer has the authority. Christ is the authority. And when He died upon the cross and rose again, He paid for our sins. Our sins are paid in full. And you and I can look back at the cross and be thankful for the cross of Calvary. Above all things, this Thanksgiving season, and I know we turn the switch over to Christmas, but it all is one. We are thankful for the fact that Christ came. But He did not come, as the girls just sang, He did not come just to go to a manger. He came to go to a cross. Jesus died for our sins. So what all happened on that cross? What all happened on that cross? If you'll stay with me real quick, look at a few verses with me. Why is the cross so important? Why are we so thankful? Turn back to John chapter number 10, please. John chapter number 10, just a few pages back. The book of John in chapter number 10 and in verse number 11. John chapter 10 and verse number 11. Please listen closely to the message and understand this, that this message could be the only thing that stands between someone dying and going to hell. John chapter 10 and verse number 11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. What happened on the cross? Number one, Jesus sacrificed His life for our sins. See, why do we glory in the cross? The choir sang this morning, the old rugged cross. They sang about the cross of Calvary. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. Yet we cherish that cross. Why would we cherish such a wicked, harsh thing? Because it was on that cross Jesus died for our sins. Understand that He died, yes, as He went to the cross, but a lot took place as He walked towards that cross. Understand this, and y'all look at me real quick this morning. Your sins and my sins demanded a penalty paid. And when we say Jesus died on the cross, I know everyone just pictures a man standing or being hung there on a cross. You know, it looks like he's been hit a few times and he's got something wrapped around his waist. And that's kind of the picture that we see. That is not exactly what happened. Understand this morning. Jesus, when He was arrested, they mocked Him. I don't care who it is. If we brought anyone up this morning and treated them the way that they treated Christ, you would hate my guts. And I don't care who it is. They mocked Him. They made fun of him. They publicly shamed him. They took him and they took their fist and they hit him right on the face. They held him down. They blindfolded him and then they struck him and said, "All right, if you're really God, if you really know everything, tell us who just hit you." They took the hair that was on his head. And just for fun, they began to grab his hair and they began to rip it out of his head. Then they laughed. They said, "All right, you're really a king." So they went and they found the purple robe and they put it on him. They said, "Here's you a reed, a scepter." And they hit him with it and beat him with it. And understand this, he did that and he never opened his mouth because he was paying for our sins. They said, "A king needs a crown." They went and found long thorns and made a crown and weaved them around. They placed them on his head and they placed those thorns down into his head. Blood began to pour. Read the scripture. They then took that reed and they smote him on the head. If you can picture, if I took same effect, if we took some nail and we took it and I beat that nail into this pew, that's what they did with those thorns into his head. And a lot of times we sit in a pew and we hear Jesus died on the cross. He suffered for you. But he willingly took it. They then took him out and they took him to a post and they took him to this post and they took this whip. And on the whip, it was designed to cause as much torture as possible. They took this whip and at the end of every strand, they put glass, they put rock, they put sharp objects so that when they took him, they would stretch him out across and they would, a man that was an expert at it would whip that whip. It would wrap around his body. He would sink it in like a fisherman does a hook. And then he'd rip it back and tear the flesh off of him. The prophet prophesied of this and said that by the time that Jesus actually went to the cross, you could not even tell it was the visage of a man. In other words, that little picture that we all picture of Jesus hanging on a cross, you would have walked by and wondered, "What is that? Is that really a man?" They tore his body. At any moment, everybody look at me, at any moment, Jesus could have said, "Stop." At any moment, he could have said, "That's enough," and everything gone. But he didn't because he did it for us. Then he began to carry that cross. They brought some man. They, in their mind, I'm sure, thought this man can't possibly bear this. He's going to die before he gets there. They had a man carry the cross. They took him there. They placed him down upon that cross and they put nails in his hands and in his feet. They then set that cross up, and when that cross settled into the ground, it would have jerked the joints right out from each other. As he was there hung on that cross, many things happened on that cross. We don't have time to go through everything that happened, but he was there and he suffered. Look at me. He hurt. Say, he was God. He was the God-man. In agony, the Bible says. All of a sudden, the sky went black. God had to turn his back in heaven on his only son as our sin was placed upon his son. It's the only time ever in the history of eternity that the relationship between God the Father and God the Son, there was a separation. Jesus always looked up and called him Father, but at that moment when our sins were cast upon him, he said, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Anytime Jesus ever asks a question, it's not to find an answer. It's always to teach us a lesson. Why did God have to turn his back upon his only son? The answer? Us. Our sin. But Jesus willingly died for our sins. So understand, as we read in this text, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. What did Jesus do on the cross? Number one, he sacrificed his life. We ought to be thankful. Number two, what did he do on the cross? He showed the ultimate love. Turn over a few pages to the right, John chapter number 15. John 15 and in verse number 13. John 15, 13, Jesus said this, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." What did Jesus do on the cross? He sacrificed his life for us. Number two, he showed the ultimate love for us. When Jesus died on the cross, understand this, and everybody hear this. He died because he loves you. He loves you. I wish I could go around the auditorium and take the time this morning to have everyone individually stand up. It would be awesome. I think it would be powerful to understand this, all right? That when Jesus died on the cross, he did it because he loves Donald Fountain. He did it because he loves Hope Burke. He did it because he loves Brother Haddocks. He loves Miss Tammy. He loves Sam. He loves us. And he showed the ultimate love by dying for us. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Now look at me. He loves you, and he considers you his friend. What a great God. So what did he do on the cross? He sacrificed his life for us. Number two, he showed the ultimate love for us. Number three, he saved us from wrath. Look over towards the right now, book of Romans in chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5, verse number 8. Romans 5 and verse number 8. Says this, "But God commendeth his love toward us," Romans 5, 8, "but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then," verse 9, "being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." What did he do on the cross? Why are we so thankful for the cross? Well, because he sacrificed his life. He showed the ultimate love. He saved us from wrath. A lot of people out there in the world, they kind of take, you know, God and the Bible as a joke. They see it as a crutch. They laugh at it. There's even people that come to church and they sit through service after service and they find every other reason not to listen to the preaching. What they don't know is that this is true. And that while my God loves you, why my God gave his son for you, why my Lord Jesus Christ suffered for you and I to be saved, understand he did it because there is a wrath. Sin must be judged. The wages of sin is death. There is, look at me, a place called hell. There is a place called hell. The Bible defines it as a place that is there as a fire that is not quenched. It is referred to as one day hell. All will be cast into the lake of fire, a place of darkness, a place where the worm dieth not, where there is weeping and wailing, a place where there is eternal separation, a place where people are crying out in agony, and there will never be relief. See, why do you yell when you preach? Because I want to get someone's attention today. There are some people sitting in church trying to ignore everything that's being said, and one day they're going to die and go to hell. And then they'll say, "Why am I here?" And you'll remember sitting in a service like this when the preacher yelled to the top of his lungs and sweated and cried and begged you to get saved because Jesus loves you. He gave himself for you. And he will, if you believe on him, will save you from that wrath. The fourth thing that Jesus did on the cross is he secured our relationship. Read the next verse in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 10. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not only, everybody listen to me, not only did he sacrifice his life and show the ultimate love and saved us from wrath, but he secured a relationship. You and I, when he died on the cross, he made a way for you and I to now be reconciled to God. Our sin separated us from God. Being sinners, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now get this. The moment, again, by faith, the Bible said, justified by faith, the moment that I said, yes, I'm a sinner, but I believe that Jesus died for my sins, I not only was forgiven, but I became God's child. I have a relationship with the Father now. That relationship is only possible because of the cross. Because he died for me. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 18. What else happened at the cross? Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. He set me free. I am no longer under the bondage of sin. I have been set free from the curse of sin. I have been set free from the burden of sin. Understand this, I don't have to sin. I still do at times because my wicked flesh chooses to, but it no longer has dominion over me. The curse of sin that demands that sinners die and go to hell, I've been set free from that. I have, in a word, ready? One of the greatest words in the Bible, been justified. One person defines it, and I love the definition, it is just as if I'd never sinned. It's a miracle of miracles. I can't explain it to you today because I know me. But a God in heaven, when he looks at me, because I said yes to Jesus, in God's eyes, all he sees is the righteousness of his son. And it's nothing that I've done, just faith. It's all what Jesus did. And in God's record book, which is all that matters, I'm clear. Isn't that amazing? I'm clear. Lord Jesus declared me as being set free, justified. The sin that I have demanded a payment. And on the cross, Jesus paid it all. Why am I thankful for the cross? Because he sacrificed his life there. He showed the ultimate love. He saved us from wrath. He secured my relationship and he set me free, satisfying my sin's demand. You say, is that the whole sermon? Let's go back to our text and I'll close things out. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at this. This is the cross. This is the preaching of the cross. Now, for us that are saved, we already read the text, 1 Corinthians 1. For us that are saved, we that have put our faith in Jesus Christ, for us that are saved, when the cross is preached, you can't help but get excited. You can't help but get rejoicing. You can't help but say, thank you, God. You can't help but just sense the power of God and understand that, wow, this is all God. God did this for me. Praise the Lord. I have been set free because of the cross. That's why we can get up and sing about the cross. You understand we're so far separated in time that it kind of makes a difference in our head, all right? And I'm not being sacrilegious. I'm not being blasphemous, all right? I'm just trying to tell you why the world looks at us as fools, all right? Because it would be as if someone got up today and sang a special. I imagine Mrs. Souza back there. I love hearing Mrs. Souza sing. Can you imagine her getting up and singing a special on the shocking electric chair? We'd always say, what kind of song is that? But yet we're singing about the cross, an instrument made to put men to death. So why do we get excited? Why does a tear well up in your eye? Why do you raise a hand and say, thank you, God? Why? Because for us that are saved, the cross is the power of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. We do not just see two beams. We see salvation. We see sins forgiven. And the preaching of the cross to us that are saved, it is the power of God. But to those that are lost, it's foolishness. There may be even some this morning sitting in the auditorium saying, this is all, oh, just get me out of here. I don't understand what you're talking about. What are you, the cross, Jesus, whatever, right? Just say the amen. And it's foolishness to those that are not saved. Why someone would get up and preach and scream and holler and turn red in the face and try to get someone's attention and beat on the pulpit and say, listen to me about two wooden beams and a man? Because it was not just two wooden beams and it was not just a man. This is eternity. That is God. And understand when it comes to the cross here, look what Paul said about the preaching of the cross. Number one, some people stumble. Some people stumble. Look at verse number 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. By the way, us that are saved because someone got up and preached this to us. The Jews require a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. We preach Christ crucified. And to the Jews, he's a stumbling block. Now, everybody look at me just for a few minutes. The preaching of the cross to some is a stumbling block. And yes, when Paul wrote this, the Jews, they were stumbling over this. But for the same reason, look at me, that many people stumble over this today. Are you ready? Here's why they stumbled. For three reasons. They stumbled because, number one, it's too simple. It's too simple. The Jews stumbled over this, the preaching of the cross. Paul, John, Peter would get up in front of a bunch of Jews and tell them the truth about the cross of Christ. You know what they would do? They would try to take them out and have them arrested, have them stoned to death. They didn't want to hear it. They stumbled over this because it was, look at me, too simple. They looked at what must we do to be saved? The answer was what? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Well, for the Jews who had lived their whole life following a set of laws, following a set of rules, having to meet a certain standard, it was all focused upon them. It was all focused, and they had left far many years ago the preaching of the sacrifices, how that one day Jesus would come. And they had a knowledge of that, but their focus was on me. That's why people would get up in the Jews and say, look what I have done. They would put money in an offering bucket and say, hey, I just put in a lot of money. They would do whatever they could and dress in their garments and dress themselves up and walk around saying, look at me, I am holier than you are. And when someone got up and said no, and like John the Baptist in the wilderness and said, you're going to die and go to hell one day if you don't repent. Well, what do I need to be saved? Believe on Jesus. And the Jews said, that's it. They stumbled on that. That's why even in the book of Galatians, Paul had to write an entire book to the church at Galatia because there were Jews that had gotten saved, but they said, there has to be more. And so they started bringing in these different traditions and laws and saying, no, everyone, if you want to be really saved, you have to be circumcised. You have to follow this tradition. You have to do this just like we, the Jews, do. The preaching of the cross is simply this. Jesus died for our sins. He paid for our sins. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. My friends, that's it. That's it. That's it. But you have to have a time in your life and you say, I do believe that. I am a sinner. I believe Jesus died for me. But there are many, even sitting in church today, to stumble on that. And so they want a works-based salvation. They want to do things. They want to get dipped in the water. They want to act a certain way. They want to earn their salvation. It is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And the fact is this, there are many people that stumble over the preaching of the cross because it's too simple. The second reason I believe they stumble is because of this. It was too weak. The word I used was sickly. Because the Jews, understand this, it was all, they had become very prideful people. They wanted a Messiah. They did. But not that one. That can't be him. Even the Jews that walked by when he was on the cross looked up and said, all right, if you're God, what'd they say? Come down. This can't be you. They were looking for something more powerful. They were looking for something more showy, more this or that. And the preaching of the cross to them, the typical Jew, and that's why the Jews struggled with this. So you're telling me that it's not what I do? So you're telling me, the Jews were saying, that my salvation and my hope is in that man dying on a cross? Can't be. And they stumbled on it. And there are many people sitting in church, possibly here today, doing the same thing. They stumble with this. They're looking for something more showy. They're looking for something, you know, that just is overwhelming. It's simple faith. It's knowing who he is and that he did that for me. But the Jews stumbled on this because, you know, they couldn't accept it because, you know, it was too simple. It was focused on someone that was, you know, so sickly and weak. And then the third thing to why the Jews stumbled on it, ready? And you can read, do a word search on this. The Jews had this issue. They were stubborn. They were stiff-necked. Everybody look at me. They said in their preaching, read Acts, read the Gospels. They sat under the preaching of the cross and they said, no. Because for the Jew, it meant changing their entire life. No. Maybe you're sitting here today and you understand what I said. You've seen the truth. But you just don't want to. And unless that changes, my friend, you'll die and go to hell one day. But God doesn't want you to, and I don't want you to, and I'm begging you today to not be stubborn, but to yield to the Lord. Paul said this, look at it, and we're almost done. He said, this preaching of the cross, some stumble. Verse 23, and unto the Greeks, foolishness. The preaching of the cross, some stumble at it, and then others, they scoff it. They scorn it. It's interesting who he chooses here. He didn't say Gentiles. Could have. He said the Greeks. There's a reason for that. The Greeks are known for two things. Two things they're known for. The Greeks are known, number one, they had conquered the entire world. They were fighters. They were warriors. We're very far removed from it, but they weren't then. The Greeks were known. They laid the foundation for the Roman Empire. Alexander the Great was still a known man. They were warriors. And, as has already been mentioned, they loved wisdom. I wrote it down in this way: power and prestige. Now, why would the preaching of the cross be to the Greeks foolishness? Because the Greek was all about this: conquer it or figure it out. Are you with me? Conquer it or figure it out. You know why the world scorns and mocks the preaching of the cross? Because humanly speaking, it doesn't make sense. Humanly speaking, I'm going to heaven and I did nothing. I didn't obtain it. I didn't work for it. I didn't conquer my salvation. I just had to rely on someone who did. How did all this process take place? No one in this auditorium can stand up and explain how salvation takes place. So, well, I can. All right. Explain justification. Explain how Christ lives in you. Explain the Holy Spirit. Explain how you have been redeemed. Explain how that you, knowing the sinner that you are justified in the eyes of God. Explain how that transaction takes place. How that you went from a condemned dead spirit to you have been quickened and alive with God. I don't know exactly how he did it. That's why it's called a miracle. But just like the blind man, I can't tell you how it happened, but now I know I see. I can't explain it all, but I know what he did for me. It's called faith. Too many people, they scoff at it because they, well, if I can't figure it out, if I can't achieve it, I don't want it. But the preaching of the cross to you would be foolishness. But to us that are saved, it's the power of God. Some people scorn it. Some people stumble over it. But then there's a third type of people in that last verse in that chapter. If you're going to glory in anything, glory in the Lord. There's some of us that are saved, and all we want to do is sing about it and shout about it and share all we can about it, because it's not us. It's all him. And the preaching of the cross is special to us. And we today get excited. Brooklyn, listen to me. You need to hear this. We get excited today about the cross. We get excited about it because we know it is the way to heaven. We know what all Christ did for us. We get excited and we sing about it in the choir and in the congregation. We tell other people about it. We preach it. We do all we can. We write about it. We're just excited about it because we know that there on that cross, Jesus sacrificed his life. He showed his love for us. He secured a relationship. He saved us from the wrath that was coming. God did it all on the cross of Calvary. And there's three types of people in this auditorium today. There are those who stumble on it because it's too simple. He can't be the one being stubborn. There's those who scorn it and mock it because you can't conquer it and you're not doing it, so you're not trusting nobody else. And there's those who just say, thank you. I believe it. Thank you, God. So how about you? For us that are saved, preaching of the cross is the power of God. Be thankful for it. Would you bow your heads and close?